of the tower, set it not down first, and count it the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish. Counting the cost. We're also going to look at verse 31 to 33. Or what king going to make war against another king? Set it now down first and consult it whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that come against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. We're talking about counting the cost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you humble, Lord. Lord, whatever you got in store for us today, Lord, let it be done, Lord. Lord, let it pierce the hearts like only be hearers of the word, Lord, be doers of the word, Lord. Lord, have your way this morning, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. Lord, intervene, Lord, right now, Lord. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we shake it off, Lord. We leave it, Lord. We come to you pure, Lord, and hungry, Lord, and thirsty, Lord, for your word, Lord, for your anointing, Lord, for your spirit, Lord. Lord, guide us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, every step of the way, Lord. Lord, we ask this all in your master's name. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Counting the cost. As Christians, we are in a fight of our life. We have stumbling blocks prepared for us. Why? Because it's trying to destroy us. We must fight through the spiritual warfare against our flesh and the devil and those out there who are seeking to destroy us. We must understand that regardless of what happens, something will and must be destroyed. Whatever the cost. Whatever the cost as Christians, we must wait upon the Lord and understand it is all in God's time. What is the cost to build your faith, I asked you this morning, in God? What is the cost to believe in God, to know He's going to do what He says? What is the cost to trust in God and never doubt Him? What is the cost to even live for God and His ways? What is the cost to inherit eternal life, to live in God's kingdom? What is that cost? What will it cost us? Have we counted the cost lately? What is the cost to fight this fight to oppose evil in every, in any way? I ask you, what is the cost? Counting the cost means that you have thought about it. You weighed your option. You sought deeply for it, to see what it's going to take to reach that end result. The question I have for you again is, what is your end result for you? Many end results be their short-term goal. I'm just trying to get through life. I'm trying to do here. But have you ever thought about your end result is to get to God in eternal life, to be saved, to reach heaven in your way? In the scripture, we see that a king must know and think about if his 10,000 will be able to stand against another king, bringing twice the men to war. In the mindset, you said, you know, it's no, I don't have to think about that. The odds against me. 10,000 against twice as many? 20,000? We surely is going to lose. We surely is going to die. But did you count the cost? No matter what you think you see in your natural eyes, did you seek and search with your spiritual eyes? Even though the odds seem against you, you think you way outnumber. But when you got a hold of God, you got the best odds of any poker head. You got the best God of any bingo thing. Because with God, anything can happen. Because He's going to give us peace we can't understand. Because God said His ways are His ways, not ours. So we got to lean to God's ways and God's understanding. Did you count the cost? Did you sit down and think about what you need to do? One would think about the cost, such as if he's strong enough to endure, strong enough to withstand with this double, with this 20,000 against his only 10,000, and I'm strong enough. As Christians, we got to think, Lord, if I'm strong enough to defeat or to seek or to hold on through these days against my flesh, against the devil, against the world, you got to count your cost. You got to think about, Lord, is I prayed up like I'm supposed to, Lord? Lord, have I been fasting like I'm supposed to? Lord, have I been in your will? Lord, do I have the Spirit within me to guide me and lead me through those dark times? Lord, have I tapped into your power source? Lord, are you leading me? Are you guiding me? Or am I following my own flesh? Have you counted the cost this morning? The king had to think about how many he is willing to or how many he may lose in this battle. As Christians in this battle, we're going to lose some to the wayside. Some Christians will backslide. Some will fall away. Some will turn away from what we know as this Holy Bible, as this life in God to live for God. Why? Because they think the odds are against them. They see something else that they might give into, that they might find better and be able to withstand. But at the end result, you're trying to make it heaven. Romans 3:23 tells me that's death. Withstand from sin. Nevertheless, my friends, regardless of what you do, living for God will cost you something. Let's sit it down and let's count the cost. The cost I looked at this morning I want to mention is, do I want to go to hell or live for God for a chance to make it to heaven and inherit eternal life with God? Do I want to be lost or do I want to live for God for a chance to make it to heaven to inherit eternal life with God? Do I want to please people or do I want to live for God for a chance to make it to heaven and have an eternal life with God? Do I want to please my flesh? Do I want to please myself? Or do I want to live for God for a chance to make it to heaven? So when you follow in God, the end result is always going to be inheriting eternal life for God. But with our flesh, it involves so many different things. Pride. Feeling good. Things that interest me. Things that get me all twisted up and get me in a situation I shouldn't be in the first place. That have me running back and crawling back to the altar to ask God for a chance by repenting of what I've done. Did you count the cost? If the cost is great, like this king, as we read in the scripture in Luke 14, verses 31 to 33, this king with 10,000 who's above, he sent it down and count the cost and realized it's no way possible he's going to win this battle. He's going to send a message for peace to be sent to the other king. But I tell you, when I think about God and when it comes to his kingdom, I might stand afar off and count my cost, but I'm going to say, Lord, if I cannot live for you, Lord, I need to get a hold of your hand because I'm lost because I'm not living under your peace. Lord, I'm going to count the cost of not living for you. And I'm going to send you the message, Lord, to say, here I am, God. Have your way, Lord. Do with me as you will. Have you count the cost? But it's all worth it at the end. It's all worth it because what did you get when you count the cost? What do you get when you start thinking about, if I live for God, where will it put me at? When I live for God, when in my life can change? When I live for God, I'm just telling you a little testimony. When I live for God, I got a little bit of alcohol out of my system. I got a little bit healthy because I started to lean to God for my answers. I didn't lean to the alcohol. I didn't lean to the drugs. I didn't lean to go hang up to the club when I try to lean to my own understanding. When I get a hold of God and come this course, I got pure, I got character of God. I got God within me. Amen. That's what happened. Do you believe? Do you trust God? Or do you doubt God? Do you hold on to the promises? Do you hold on to what the Bible tells us? Do you hold on when the scripture says in the beginning God created? Do they answer all your answers for you, your questions for you? When God said, in the beginning I created, that should tell you we need to go to the source, which is God, because he's got the key. He's the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. He's the alpha and the omega. So whatever he did in the beginning, he got the way at the end. We just got to seek and search out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I ask you, have you sat it down lately? Have you come to cost with God? Did you sit down and think about, God, if I don't live for you, what can be in store for me? Do you start to worry? Do you start to sweat saying, Lord, I'm lost and eternally. Lord, I got a chance to go to hell if I don't live for you. Do you realize, Lord, alone I'm holding on to your hand. I'm saved, Lord. Lord, I have a way to come to you, Lord. Lord, I can pray in your name and don't worry about it. Do you have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost upon you? If we read in Acts chapter 19, familiar scriptures to many. Acts chapter 19. We're going to go ahead and start at verse 1. Everybody there, say amen. Alright. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, meaning the borders, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, followers, learners. And this is what he said. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit within you. Since you believe. That believe means since you entrusted, put your trust in. Since you have faith in the Greek translation. That's what believe means. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. See, the thing is, they're not saying that I don't know what you're talking about. They just don't know. They said, nobody told me that. Nobody told me I need such thing to lead me, to guide me, to direct myself. Where do I go to get it? And that leads us to an experience that many of us embarked on. That leads us to an experience and act because of our belief in Acts 2:38. And Peter said it to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission means to put the sins away. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when he actually said, I don't know what this Holy Ghost is. We talk about time to talk. Have you come to talk that you need the Holy Ghost? You need the Spirit of God within you. Because when your storm in your life starts to stir up, only the Holy Ghost is going to carry you through. Have you counted the cost lately, somebody? I hope somebody understands what I'm teaching this morning. That's an experience of life that guides us. The thought-provoking point of this teaching is summed up in verse 33 in Luke chapter 14. It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you, forsaketh not all that he hath. He cannot be my disciple. Forsaketh, the Greek translation, mean to bid farewell, mean to put away, mean to get it behind you. That's what this means. The disciple means a learner, someone following God. It's time to give your whole life to God. If you cannot understand or you cannot see this, then we cannot be a follower of God because our life should be predicated on what God would do. Have you ever sat around and been put in a situation and you realize like, man, I'm too deep in. See, I call that quicksand. Because when you're in so deep, the harder you fight, the more you sink. See, the thing is, the only thing going to get you out when the hand of God reached down and you repent of your sins, you say, Lord, I can't do this alone, Lord. Lord, the battle's outweighing me. My 10,000 can't face the 20,000 that's against me. Lord, we're only a few Christians against many out there who's trying to destroy us. Lord, I can't see it. Lord, I can't make it. He said, you know what? Anything is impossible when I'm involved. See, all we got to do is lean upon the power source. We just need to type in something that's going to see us through, and that is God. Living for God would cost you your life. To receive life in favor of prosperity. Repenting will cause you to die to sin. Please follow me on this one. Repenting will cause you to die to sin. When you repent, you're trying to get all that stuff. You're giving it to God to die to that stuff. And say, Lord, I need another beginning. Lord, I'm doing this over again because I can't get it right on my own. Now, Lord, I'm going to follow you because I see that's what I need. So when we repent, we die to sin. Then born of the water, submerged in baptism, will cause you to be buried and resurrected in the name of Jesus. Being born of the Spirit will cause you to take the attribute of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. See, this will cause you, what we talked about in verse 33, this will cause you to bid farewell to yourself and everything that's around you. Those self-centered interests or desires that you have for the sake of God. It's not for the sake of yourself. It's not for the sake of your spouse. It's for the sake of God. Because if God is in us, everything else is going to be alright. If God is in our marriage, everything else is going to be alright. If God is walking with me, everything I do should be anointed by God. See, when I cut the cord, I said, Lord, how am I going to make this work? He said, get me in you. Lord, how am I going to withstand? You just stand by my shield. I tell you to put on the whole armor of God. That's what you need to put on. So the answer is in the book. And this book is known as the Holy Bible. See, you can go to the Old Testament to 39 books, or you can flip over to the New Testament to 26 books. It's 66 books where you can count the cost of your life. What is going to reach eternal life in heaven with God? It's here. But the thing is do you believe it? Or do we just read something like, oh, that scares me, I don't need that. Well, I don't need that either. That's what we do? Or do we read it and soak it in and get the anointing in and just get the Spirit of God within us to start to stir up and move? What have we done lately? Sometimes we wonder why our world sometimes feel like it's overbearing. Have we ever thought about, did you count the cost? We sung the song, somehow leave it there. When we leave our burdens at the altar, how many of us pick it back up? How many of us put the weight back on our shoulder? When you take that pack off and you leave that there, you got to trust in God and say, Lord, it's in your hands, Lord. Your word says, Lord, give it to you. Seek your understanding. Seek your ways. Are we doing that? It will cause you to bid farewell to yourself and live on a constant readiness for God. That means every day, every minute, we got to be ready for God. We don't know when God's going to return for us. We don't know when He's going to come back and call us home. He fought the way He did the fight in the Garden of Gethsemane. He did the fight way back on Calvary on Golgotha here for us. Then we said, Lord, I'll plead the blood on it. You want something? You want to see something stir up in your life? Plead the blood on something in your life and see what happens. The blood don't lose its power. The blood runs forever and continues. You need something to work? Plead the blood of God on it. And He will answer the prayers. He would answer your petition. If we sit down and count it the cost, you want to know what the payout will be? The payout will be your total commitment to God. That's what it's going to cost you. Yes, the cost is high, but the rewards are great. Whatever it costs you, you must live for God through it all. If you do, the end result will be inherent eternal life with God. I pray for you. We need to pray for one another and watch God changes things. Watch God get involved. If it's something that you need, something you got to ask for, something you need shooken up, and He's saying that this heaven and earth will be shaken, but His words is going to stand. It's going to stay. But do you stand on the promise? When you wake up in the morning, do you thank God for breathing life into you another day to get it right? Some of us might be with down. Some of us might be sad. Some of us hold on things on our own. But God said, you're not counting the cost, because if you let it go and trust and never doubt, He said, I will surely see you out. But do we believe that today? Trust and never doubt in God. What are you saying to me? As I want to stand, please stand. I want us to think about something. This morning, maybe summer, maybe something that's whole long, but I want to think about something that I wrote down. Some of us might be hurting. Some of us might be crying inside or at home. Some of us might be worrying and frustrated. But I will tell you, that's okay. You know why? Because I'm going to give you some encouraging words. I want to speak some life into you. You need to count the cost. Because the cost may be high, but the reward is great. To live for God, He will see you through. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 40. The many scriptures, many. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Let's back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 30. It reads, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall." There's going to be times in our life where we're going to stumble. There's going to be times in our life it seems like we're not going to make it. It seems like we missed the mark. But I promise you, if you just hold on, if you just keep seeking God with everything you've got, you're going to have a chance to make it. Because I said early in the teaching, I said that we just wait upon the Lord and seek His understanding, we might understand. Verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." You might get worn out. It might take every bit of sweat you got. But if you just wait upon the Lord, just wait. He's going to renew your strength. He said, "I'm going to come at my time." "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Eagles. Ah, nothing going to hold them back. The wind, they can get through the wind because they are strong. If you ever did some research on eagles, I challenge you to. Because you're going to understand how eagles soar, how they fly, how the things on their eyes, how they can go so fast and don't put themselves off. They're made for a reason. Because in the beginning, God created. Everything was created for God and with the rightness and with pureness. "They shall run and not be weary." You ever ran a marathon before? Some of them might get tired after a mile. What about 5? What about 20? But the thing is, they shall run and not be weary. "And they shall walk and not faint." Turn to please to Ecclesiastes, please. It's right before Song of Solomon. Trust me, I'm going somewhere. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you look at verse 11. You know what? Please take your seats. Lord, Lord, Lord. Count the cost in the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. "To a time, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Just bear with me, please. "A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. What profit has he that worketh, and that within he labor?" Meaning, if you labor to something that you know, what's going to profit you? If we know what it is that we hoping for, that we can see, why hope anymore? People say, "How you believe in something you can't see?" Because I hope in something I don't see that I wish I could get a hold of. That's what the Bible teaches me. I'm counting the cost. I'm giving up everything in this world to reach heaven, because it says when you see me face to face, oh my God, speak to those while the jasper, crystal sea. That's what my God can do. He can make the crooked way straight. That's what I want to get to. I fear being lost for eternity. I fear hell. Because I want to see God. I want to get a hold of this kingdom. He died for my sins. I said, He died for my sins. The ones I committed. What more can I give Him but my life? Lord, that's all I got. Money ain't going to cost you nothing. But Lord,
by me living for you, Lord, would you accept that? I've sit it down and tell it the cost. Lord, what do I need to do for your kingdom? The reason I read this scripture, I'm sorry, just bear with me, but the reason I read it, let's talk about counting the cost. The positive, to be born, to die, to plant, positive, to pluck up, negative, to heal, to kill, to build up, to break down, to laugh with joy, to weep with sorrow, to dance before the Lord, to mourn, to gather stones together, to cast away stones, to embrace, to refrain and turn away, to get something of God or to lose God totally, to keep God in our life or to cast God away, to sow what we have or to sow what we got or to rend away, to speak in the name of Jesus or to speak with unknown tongue as the Spirit gives us utterance, or to keep silent and never witness to others, to love or to hate, to have peace or to always be at war. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 10, I have seen the travail which God has given to the son of man to be exiled in it. But this scripture speaks volume in verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Did it say my time? Did it say your time? It says in his time. Who is his time? That's God's time. God said everything is his time. If you just wait upon me, you will see. He also has set the world in his heart. If he tell you who set the world in his heart, that makes me sit down and think about it. God, if you did that for the world, God, I got to be a part of that. That world is his. That world is his sheep. That hears the shepherd voice. That's what the world's talking about. So that no man find out the work that God's making from the beginning to the end. Then we talk about he's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the author. He's the finish. No man know what God's going to do. God knows our destiny. We might trip and stumble. We might stray left and right. But we just get a hold of God. He said, I'm going to see you through. He said, I'm going to get you back on straight. I'm going to get you back in the world where you need to be. You need to sit down and get a hold of these 66 books. You need to sit down and study your scriptures. You need to sit down and count the cost with God. Lord, where do I want to go? Lord, my end result is to reach the kingdom of heaven. But how do I get there, Lord? Let me cut the cost. Let me see what Genesis 1 says. Genesis 1 tell me in the beginning, God created. Let me see what Revelation says at the end of Revelation. Let me see what my faith is going to lead me. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So in the beginning he created, God put something in me there. And at the end it says, the grace of our Lord be with you. That tells me somewhere in the middle, I got to get a hold of God. Somewhere in the middle, I got to get the Spirit in me. Have you counted the cost lately? Oh my God, I hope somebody get what I'm saying. Has you counted the cost? Now you may stand. It's for a reason. I didn't want to be long-winded this morning. And I apologize if somebody think I cut them short. But the point I'm trying to get you, I want you to think about counting the cost. Counting the cost can be anything, but I want you to focus on counting the cost with your life with God. We all talk about we want to reach heaven. We all were talking about we want to see God in the face to face, but it's going to cost you something. Our answer should be, what is the cost? What do I need to find in God? The answer should be, show me what I need to do to reach my God. My Almighty, my Jehovah, my El Shaddai. Because he always looking out for me. That's why I need to find what is the steps I need to do. We got to sit down and get this thing right. Because if we don't, we're going to miss the mark. It's many that comes in and they don't take it serious. And then they wonder why things go wrong in their life. I tell you, you know what? That's okay. Because if you just stay, we're going to mess up stumbling blocks. Going to cause us trip and fall. Our flesh is sin. Our flesh is going to cause us to stray left or right. But long we get some English called God in us, he'll put us straight. alone we get the anointing, the Holy Ghost, within inside of us. Repent to die to sin. To be born again in the baptism in Jesus. Why? So we can be buried with Christ and be resurrected. Born of the Spirit. Get the Holy Ghost within us. To give us the attribute of God. To be able to live for God. God said not by our words, but He said live by the word of God. For it is written. He tells us right there. He said, I give you a way out of temptation. But what is going to cost us? It's going to cost us to follow God. It's going to cost total commitment for God. We got our children. Have they come to cause? You might say they're too young. But they're looking at what us as parents are doing. Have you ever thought about that cause? As I'm leaving, we all want the kids to graduate and be the best they can be. Or are we getting the opportunity? What are we providing? It's going to cost us something. Something must be destroyed. You know what that the thing that must be destroyed? That's yourself. We are our own worst enemy when we look in the mirror. Or like I'm just talking to myself. When I look in the mirror, I see something I don't like. Because I see flesh. Because that flesh sometimes gets stirred up and it causes me to want to do things. Contrary to what God is telling me to do. I ain't trying to say I'm no super holy roller, nothing like that. I'm just a young man trying to live for God with everything I got. Amen. I ain't trying to miss the mark. I'm there. I ain't looking back. I'll reach back, brother and sister, and I will help you along the way. I'm not looking back because I'm not going back to where I came from. That's how you should be. That's what dying to sin is. You turn it away 180. You're not looking back. If you need to hear nothing else this morning, I ask you, I beg you, I plead you to look to Jesus for everything. To count the cost. You need a touch. You need a healing. You need a move of God in your life. You need some healing in some marriages. God got all the answers. You know why? Look around the room. You're looking what God saved already. You think your problems are big? Ask somebody else about their problem. I guarantee you. They probably got one bigger than you. But they ain't let them hold them down. Because they're still here. They still come to the house of God. They still come to get that seed planted or that seed to be watered so something can grow. But it got to be Jesus involved. Count the cost. It's going to come cost you something. Because in verse 33 it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he has, he cannot be my disciple. If you got to build a tower and you don't sit down first, you can make a lot of mistakes. If you go build a house and you don't lay down a solid foundation, the house ain't going to last between the storms. God said, get me in you. Let me be your. Let me be the rock of your salvation. Let me be the anchor to your soul. Let me build something that can withstand what the devil is throwing at you, his fiery darts, what your flesh is trying to come against you. He said, get a hold of his foundation. I end this morning. I pray for you. We pray for one another. We got to encourage one another. That life is God. I ask you, you try God with everything you got. That's a win-win situation. Because when I was at the bottom, when nobody cared, when everybody pointed a finger and said, you're going to keep law enforcement in employment, only God was the one that brought me out. Only was God was the one to reach down and say, I see, you got a will. I want that. Because I turned everything to Him and then turned away from Him. And today I'm still seeking for God. I'm still trying to stay whole because I don't know. I don't want to slip up. I leave you with that. Pastor. Can we take it, Brother Sam? Time to. Let's take a moment, greet one another. We're at a transition. In Jesus' name, amen.